We are all humans, and, you know, division by gender, age, race is totally irrelevant for me. And if you start to create these kinds of divisions, you are treating other humans as inferior to you, and you don't have a right to do that.
Hello and welcome to the Filter Coffee Podcast. Today we're going to do something that we haven't done before. Actually, we're going to do a couple of things that we haven't done before. One is having an international guest, which we haven't done. And the other is we've never really had an episode which is about a marketing campaign, right? Or a case study, so to say. So we're going to do both of that. So quick introduction to my guest. He's a career advertising professional, a very important person in the advertising industry in Poland. He's the CEO of Wavemaker Poland. Welcome to the Filter Coffee Podcast, Paweł Gala.
Hello, nice to be here.
Thank you, and thanks for taking the time. And, you know, just for the benefit of, you know, the audience, we met a couple of days back. It seems like we know each other.
Yeah.
you know, you're talking to us about this particular campaign, which we'll get to in a bit. But I think what really triggered, you know, my thought, why I thought, you know, it'll be wonderful to do this episode is just a few weeks back, you know, before we met, I was speaking to a group of people from the advertising industry, and I was asking them, you know, there's so much going on in the country, in India, that is, and what is our response to what is happening, and whether you're in support of it, whether you're not in support of it, how can we, the advertising community, be indifferent to it, right? To which the response I got was very guarded. It was like, you know, brands don't want to get into this. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get into social and politics and all of that. And for me, I think anything that affects the conscience of a consumer, it's important for a marketer, right? It could be music, it could be popular culture, it could be politics.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
I see an opportunity, probably an opportunity cost in a brand not leveraging a public sentiment. But what are your thoughts? I think that's a good place to start. What are your thoughts about brand and...
I think that we are sometimes too afraid to tackle difficult subjects, and that brands are too afraid. But from my point of view, it's not if we want it or not. At some point, we will be forced to do that. And it's all because of the consumers. They are expecting brands and communication to be much more meaningful for them. And currently, what we are facing worldwide is climate problems, poverty, whatever. There are many, many social issues that people care about. And they appreciate if a brand takes a stand in a discussion. So I think that we should even proactively look out for opportunities like that. If a brand wants to be a brand, not a product only, it has to have a personality, it has to have a set of values behind it, and it has to reflect in a way what consumers are expecting. And we can see already how brands are evolving, adjusting their communication, their products to consumers' expectations, especially in when it comes to ecology and being more eco-friendly. So I do support it, and I think in a way that we as industry, as advertising industry, are the ones who should do much more. It's also a kind of my personal commitment to do much more in this area, to convince our clients to do much more.
That's very, very refreshing, you know, when I compare it with the kind of conversations I've had over the last month. Paweł, I think a lot of our conversation in this episode is going to revolve around the politics of today.
Yeah,
probably both in India and in Poland.
Yeah,
and even though I've read a lot about what's going on in Poland, it's you know, after speaking with you over the last couple of days, the similarities between what's going on in both the countries are staggering. Right? Mm. But for the uninitiated in the audience, the people who don't know about the politics of Poland and what's going on right now, could you give us like a very short, you know, for dummies kind of a summary?
Yeah, of course. So, unfortunately for me and unfortunately for many people in Poland, we believe that things are not going in the right direction because we are turning into much more conservative society, and it's initiated by political powers in a way. Yeah, so we see a lot of divisions between people based on politics, and it goes down even to families. So families are divided, and including my family. So we even stopped talking about politics because it initiates huge fights. And the most worrying thing for me is that I'm not very positive that it will go away. The divisions created by politicians are so deep that it will take a lot of time to work it out somehow. And I do believe that we have much bigger problems currently in the society, economy, et cetera, to bother with ideological problems. And this is the core of the politics currently.
Right. And at the center of all of this is a gentleman called Jaroslaw Kaczynski.
Yeah.
And he is the
leader of the ruling party.
Right. His views have been fairly, and that's what you're talking about, right?
I think.
But tell me something. I think you know, when they came to power, when I say they, I mean his party, which is the Law and Justice Party. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So when they came to power, I think much like what's happened in India or what's happened in other parts of the world, they came with a large economic promise.
Yeah, they came with a very simple trick that was back then needed by a large group of society. So they promised to support families with kids with additional monthly money. That they promised this money. If they win, they will give every family a certain amount of money if they have kids. So everybody was thinking, no, it's not going to happen. They will not deliver. It's only a promise. It will hit Polish economy tremendously, etc., etc. But in the end, what they did deliver. So all the families that had more than one kid received additional money. And
so the more kids you have, the more money you get.
Yes, exactly. The more kids you have, the more money you get. And for many of these families, it changed their lifestyle dramatically. And this is a positive thing. Even I was against it, but in the end, it changed lives of many families in Poland. But then it was just a hook, yeah, to win the elections. And I'm very worried about what's going on currently with the democracy in general in Poland. I would like it to be the other way than it is currently.
And, you know, when you say you're worried about what's going on, I think, can you elaborate a little bit more on it? I think my understanding of what is happening is their approach to gender, their approach to...
The approach to gender equality. So they follow very traditional values. They have a very good relationship with the Catholic Church, and Catholic Church has always been very conservative. Mm. Yeah, so they are also conservative. So they are trying to reinforce these values. And the role of women is different than in if you believe in more liberal approach. So it's about gender equality. It's about diversity. So refugees, they oppose to accept refugees.
Right.
It's about LGBT society in Poland also. So many aspects that for a certain part of society and for European country is like moving backwards to what we've been developing for many years.
But when we say it's backward, he also seems to have a lot of fans, right? I think one thing that was happening in India, and let me know if this sounds like you know, something similar is going on there, is what really, really, to a lot of us, what really sounds wrong, what really sounds diabolical, and what really sounds unfair. There are people in my family, in my office, and my neighborhood, who absolutely, and these are well-meaning, regular people, who absolutely believe in it, mm-hmm. right? And this has, you know, led to so many families neighborhoods and friends mm-hmm. disagreeing with each other. And the overall atmosphere has become extremely toxic in the last few years yeah. for us, right? Is there anything like that for you?
Yes, yes, it's exactly like that. It's the matter of belief, because at some point, I think that we lost a common ground for a discussion between those two groups of people. We are so divided. So as we spoke before, I think that if we don't want to have a huge fight, we just simply don't talk about that. And there was a funny drawing, you know, because Poland is really divided in half. And there was a funny drawing from one satiric. Yeah. So there was a pie chart divided by half. The question above was, do you think that Polish society is divided by half? The first half of the pie chart says yes, the second half of the pie chart says no. It is a joke, but it is so true when it comes to Poland.
Right.
We are so much split.
Yeah. No, I think the what really worries me is the binary nature.
Yes.
It's not just
no.
in India, it's in the US, it's the same thing, right? It's like you know, this is the enemy, as in this is the political party that is the enemy. This is the country that is the enemy.
Yes.
This is the religion that is the enemy.
External right? enemy seems like a necessity to build these ideologies. There is no place for gray. It's either white or black. There is nothing in between.
Right.
And that is also worrying, because if you believe that it's black and the other person believes that it's white, then you don't have to talk about anything, because you won't understand each other and you won't convince each other.
And I think it sort of works for them as well. Like, so if you're a supporter of, you know, in the whole black versus white argument,
yeah.
if you're a supporter of white, then you vote for them. And if you hate black,
yeah.
then you also vote for them,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's easier, I guess, than having like an orange
yeah.
in between.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah, exactly.
So it's amazing. It's amazing how this works, and it's amazing what the similarity is. And, you know, at this point, I want to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how Pavel had to release an issue of a porn magazine for women's rights.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Filter Coffee Podcast. We're speaking with Pavel Gala. Pavel, we were speaking about how, you know, the politics of Poland has had evolved
yeah.
over a period. And you've been a career advertising professional, right? How do you feel about being in this industry when all of this is happening, right? Do you think, do you feel like you are in a place which is advantageous to the change that you want to see? Or does being in advertising prevent you from being valuable?
It's a tricky question, because, you know, sometimes you need a certain degree of courage
right.
to make tough decisions and to, as I said at the beginning, to take a stand, to move things forward against all odds. But on the other hand, we are in a very special place in the industry, because we work with the brands. We have brands' money.
Yeah.
At our disposal, in a way, yeah. And if we convince the brands to invest this money in communication that tackles difficult problems, then it's only due to us if we want it or not, if we want to do it or not. So sometimes I think that we just have to have the guts to do it. And we, of course, we need a coincidence sometimes a spark of brightness, sometimes we need a nudge from reality to do it. And there might be a huge opportunity, because if we tackle important problems for consumers or for people, for society, then they appreciate it a lot.
It's something that I've been conflicted at many times, and I
yeah.
agree with what you said, right? I think, to me, I think for the most part, I love the fact that we are in an industry where we can influence mm-hmm. scale of communication.
Yeah.
You know, if we can convince a brand, and if what we're trying to do is good for the brand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
exactly.
when we would be advising it
exactly.
to the brand to begin with. And if you feel an opportunity there where something can be created at the confluence of greater good, and at the same time, brand relevance, then I think it's a wonderful place to be.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. And talking of that, you, a few months back, came up across one such opportunity, right? Talk to me about the genesis of it. How did this campaign begin?
So before there was a campaign, there was this like strike of brightness or coincidence that happened. So there was a the oldest Polish erotic magazine, erotic porn, however you call it, that was published for many years. I don't even remember how many, but it was like probably 20 or something. Wow. And a lot of guys in Poland learned about women or femininity from this magazine. So they saw naked women and they felt objectified women, and they felt like this is the how it looks like, because we didn't have sexual education or anything like that. And then, since we experienced huge problems with print industry, and it was much easier to find erotic content online for free,
right,
the title started experiencing problems, financial problems or whatsoever. And the owner wanted to sell it. And finally, it appeared on an auction in the internet. So you could purchase the rights to the magazine, to the title,
oh, wow,
online. And one of the guys that was involved in this project from a sister agency spotted it. And he said, oh, my God, it would be something to buy this magazine, to buy this like iconic erotic magazine in Poland,
right,
to give it to women to show who they really are,
right,
and how wrong this picture was over so many years, and publish this last ever issue of this erotic magazine to the market. So that was the idea. And you know, the idea was so brilliant that we didn't have to pitch for partners. I mean,
but you know, before even you get there, right? Even within your team, this is such a outlandish idea, right? I don't think it's ever been done before.
No, it hasn't. I think, yeah.
So when you confronted the idea for the first time, what was going on in that room when the first time you discussed?
I received
this?
A call. I received a call from the sister agency VMLYNR, asking if we want to be a part of a scandal, and they told me about the what kind of scandal it will be, and I knew that it is the right thing to do instantly. I knew that it is something like it's a disruption. It's a huge disruption. It has enormous potential, and it's having a say in a very important discussion that is taking place in Poland about the role of women, gender equality, and things like that. So instantly I knew that we're in.
I love the fact that they called you and asked you if you want to be part of a scandal.
Right?
That would have been a very interesting call. But of course, you know, thinking of it and actually doing it is a huge journey, right?
Yeah, enormous journey.
How difficult was it?
It was extremely difficult because we wanted to do it. The idea was to publish the last ever issue on the 8th of March, International Women's Day. It was extremely important to do it on that day, like a symbol, yeah, that an era is gone. An era of this magazine is over, yeah, and on that special day. But it appeared that we have less than 3 months to do everything, everything, from finalizing the purchase of the magazine, to finding all the partners, to through writing the articles, having photo shoots, distributing it, and having media campaign, less than 3 months. And in a way, some people involved in the project, they were really sacrificing their personal lives just to make it happen because they believed in the idea so much.
Right. It's just the legal process in this would have taken months in a normal thing.
It was this part wasn't that difficult in the end.
Oh, that's great.
It wasn't that difficult, yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. But when you say buying it, in this case, who was actually buying this magazine?
So there were many partners involved in this operation, in this project. So VMLYNR, which is a very good agency in Poland, was one and leading. Wavemaker was the second agency.
Right.
We had a media partner, a publisher, both print and online, which was great because we had the opportunity to use their, for example, distribution resources and printing resources. And the clients were BNP Paribas, which is a bank, and MasterCard. And it was in line with like their CSR policy strategy, tackling gender equality.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And how was the conversation with clients?
Conversation?
Did they love it?
They loved it.
Everybody loved it
from the beginning. Everybody loved it from the beginning because it was just like changing the rules. It was just like being a rebel, that feeling of being a rebel in a way, and a rebel in a good cause.
Right.
So it was amazing feeling. I mean, I don't remember many moments in my entire career when I was so excited about it.
Right.
And I was so excited when I was talking to anybody, like to people from the industry, colleagues from work, but also to my brother, sister, my friends, because we knew that it has to be done, and it will be extremely successful, and it's needed. Yeah,
right. But it's amazing. I think the idea is so powerful, because while it might have been an immediate decision, it still is a big decision for a financial brand to associate itself with
yes.
the porn magazine.
Yes,
I mean, even though the content is different.
Yeah.
To even that association, I think. There are not too many marketers who would have readily agreed to that.
Yes, right? Yes. But fortunately, in case of MasterCard and BNP Paribas in Poland, they are very progressive, and they are very, they want to try things, and
right.
they are very open to bright ideas like these. So they just really believed in it from a very start.
It's wonderful. Now, suddenly you're a magazine publisher. How do you put together a team like that in an agency?
It was also another obstacle, because as I said, we had many partners. So there were creative people from VML, there right. were media people from Wavemaker, plus content people from Wavemaker. There were two clients. They had to approve the materials, the content. We need to have another partner for photo sessions and production. We had to create editorial office mm-hmm. in the end. So it was like a huge thing. And imagine, you have to find a common ground across all these partners.
Right.
Yeah. So you really need to believe in the end result
yeah.
to avoid conflicts and different opinions and everything. So it was, I think that in the end, when it was done, everybody thought that it was close to impossible to do it in these three months.
Right.
And that's why I think everybody was so proud of it, that we managed to overcome all the obstacles and
right.
yeah and create it, and it was really something. I mean, we decided to send a couple hundred of the magazines to influencers and celebrities, and on mm-hmm. the 8th of March, social media was flooded with it
yeah.
because every influencer showed it, posted it in their social media, just showing, oh my God, I received the last ever issue of this erotic magazine, and it's so important for gender equality, etc., etc. It was such a huge satisfaction for us, because we saw, it was like a snowball. So
right.
we saw that we gave a stimuli, and then it just went.
It's amazing. I think the more you talk about this, the more it seems like I'm reading the script of Argo or something. I mean, multiple people came and created a coup. But for the audience, what is the name of the magazine again?
Twój Weekend. In English, it would be Your Weekend.
Your Weekend. Right?
Yeah.
So it's March 8th. I'm a loyal customer of Your Weekend.
Oh, I think that
Weekend.
Loyal customers were surprised.
Yeah. So now I'm picking up the magazine. What am I actually seeing? What was in it?
So we had, on the cover, we had three very strong women representing different areas. So martial art fighter, a very famous actress. And inside the magazine, we had articles written mostly by women about what it is to be a woman and how it's different to what these readers before might have thought. So many different things about how to be pregnant and what are the stereotypes, how to fight the stereotypes, etc., etc. And it was like a full picture of femininity, unbiased.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you sell many copies?
I don't remember the correct number because I'm not very good with numbers, but it was the best-selling copy in 10 years. Yeah, wow. It was funny thing was that when it appeared in social media, people started asking each other, "Oh my God, where can I purchase it? Where can I find it?" Because it was at some point very difficult to buy it. It was very difficult because it was like a jewel. People wanted it. People wanted to have it.
It's a souvenir. There was a memory. Yeah.
Almost like a hunting for it. Right. It became a symbol. Yeah. So people wanted to have it on their desk. People wanted to have it between their books because it was like a symbol of an end of an era.
Right.
Yeah.
And you actually sold more number of copies than there in a decade.
Yeah. Right?
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, when did this happen? What is the?
So it happened last year. It happened last year. So the whole idea appeared by the end of the previous year, and then it was published 8th of March, 2019.
Extraordinary. Great. Yeah. I would love to have a line in my a copy as well, but I'd love to have a line in my LinkedIn profile that says "have sold a historical number of copies for a Pond magazine."
Yeah. Right?
But I think it's an extremely beautiful story.
Yes,
and which is why, you know, the moment I heard it, I thought, you know, we should talk about it on the show. You know, just going a bit biographical with you on this, and I think the reason it's important is because I think we all invest a bit of ourselves in the ideas that we come up with in advertising. There's a bit of our conscience, our soul, our way of thinking, our upbringing and all of that. You always grown up in Poland?
Yeah. I was born in a small town in the countryside, but relatively close to Warsaw. Mm-hmm. And back then in my childhood, my whole universe was like 50 kilometers around that small town. So it was a very, very small world.
Right. Did you aspire to be in advertising?
I never really aspired to be in advertising. I didn't know what I want to do. I chose sociology for the studies because I couldn't decide what I want to do. My parents wanted me to be a doctor.
Right.
And sociology was not limiting me. Studying sociology was not limiting me to anything. So I didn't really know. And it was, again, a kind of coincidence. So I knew advertising only from movies, probably, that there are some crazy guys wearing colorful clothes and they do strange things and they earn a lot of money. And, you know, a biased picture of advertising industry. Yeah.
but what are the things that shaped your political, your social views on things?
I think that it happened really early. So maybe it's because of my parents. So they were always very humble and they were always respectful to other people. And in a way, I always felt like there is a core of values that is absolutely key to me, that it's like my spine and that I have to be, I have to follow them because otherwise I will be sick, simply physically sick if I will not follow them.
Right.
So it happened very early. And then I think that high school and university also, sociology helped me a lot. Maybe not shaped me, but reinforced what I have developed earlier. Yeah.
Right. You know, I think the reason I love this campaign so much is also because of the history of Poland and what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And the background of this is the kind of discourse that is happening on patriarchy and on gender, right? And much of this has happened in Poland, you know, decades back. Does it look like it's a rerun of what happened? Is it cyclical in nature in terms of what's going on?
We are all humans, and, you know, division by gender, age, race is totally irrelevant for me. And if you start to create these kinds of divisions, you are treating other humans as inferior to you, and you don't have a right to do that. And right now, I feel that not only in Poland, but generally, it's happening in other countries in Europe, not only in Europe, in the States, everywhere. And this is against my values, totally. And that's worrying. And it happened in the past. Yes, it happened in the past. We learned from it for a while. This is what the Second World War was based on.
Right.
And right now, I think that we again have to face these demons. And I'm afraid that maybe we are not mature enough to manage them as societies.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is my concern.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm scared about as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey, thanks so much for this. And we usually end the episode by asking our guest what he or she is watching or reading or listening. In your case, if you have to recommend Polish content, films or series, what would you recommend to the Indian audience?
Okay, so Polish, when it comes to Polish writers, I would definitely recommend Olga Tokarczuk. She received a Nobel Prize this year. I really recommend some of her books. When it comes to movies, again, a Polish film was nominated in Oscars this year.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet. I have to. But I definitely recommend it. But if I were to recommend you some of the older films, I would recommend the film called Gods, which tells the story of a Polish cardiologist that created like a Polish transplant school. He was transplanting hearts. And the story is beautiful because it shows how he was desperate to do it in Poland against all odds. I mean, all odds.
And it's called Gods?
Gods.
G-O-D-S?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll definitely
check it out. It's really, really good movie.
Extraordinary. Pavel, congratulations on a beautiful campaign and good luck for your success and Wavemakers in Poland. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Cheers. So that was our show. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcasts.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I am the_Karthik. That's Karthik with an H on Twitter. And filter_coffee. That's coffee with a K on Instagram.